you, we honour you, we worship you, for you deserve all praise, all glory and honour. Lord, we give our lives to you, for who better to give them to than the one who died for us? You died, Lord, that we might live, that we might become this radiant bride for you. So we worship you this morning, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. So Naomi has the pleasure of starting our new series. Looking forward to this. And we'll just pray over you, Naomi. Lord, we just give you thanks. Wrote, Lord, for every hymn, every lament, every song of praise, Lord, we just give you the honour and the glory. We pray, Lord, that you just bless Naomi, Lord, as she delivers your word this morning. Those things that you've placed on her heart this morning, may you just give her a voice, and Lord, may we have ears to listen, and may you receive all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I love Agnew Booth. Great. So today, as Judy said, is the start of our new series in the Psalms. We're going to be doing it in our adult teaching times, in kids' church, and in our all-age times as well. So we're all following it over the summer. And I've been given the nice, easy task of summarising the entire book of Psalms in 20 minutes. So brace yourselves. I did choose to do that, yeah. So we're going to start with a little quiz to see what you know about the Psalms already. Okay, now don't worry, nobody's keeping track of score, it's just for a bit of fun. Okay, so we've got our, let's have our next slide. So this is called Palms or Arms for the Psalms. Okay, so if you think that it's a true fact about the Psalms, you're going to put your palms together, okay? Have a practice, everyone. Come on, come with me here. Thank you. If you think it's false, you're going to cross your arms. Okay, now no one's keeping track. Don't worry, it's not a test. If you're competitive, you can keep your own score. Looking at you, Julie. Okay, right then. Are you ready? So, question one. So, remember, true or false. All right. The Psalms were written as a, to be sung. The Psalms were written to be sung. Do you think that's true or false? Oh, we've got, everyone's true. You are correct. They are true. They were written as a songbook and a prayer book for ancient Israel, designed to be sung in the temple with instruments. Okay. Question two. There are 139 psalms. True or false? 139. We've got a bit of a mixture going on. It is false. There are 150, which makes it the longest book in the Bible by chapter, not by words, though. Does anyone know what the longest one by words is? We did it last year. Pardon? Did anyone know which? Jeremiah, yes. Remember we did that last year? Cast your mind back. That's the longest by words. But no, the Psalms is the longest by chapter. Okay, question three. David wrote all the Psalms. True or false? Oh, we've got mostly falses. You're right. There are at least seven different authors in the Psalms, but David wrote a good chunk of them. Okay, question four. The Psalms are written over a period of about 500 years. True or false? Ooh, we're not sure here. We're not sure, are we? Oh, we've got a real mixture. Most people are going true. You're wrong. It was 1,000 years. 1,000 years. That was news to me. 1,000 years about. Yeah. Okay. Next question. Moses wrote one of the Psalms. True or false? Oh, I'm testing you now, aren't I? Not sure. We've got a lot of truths. You are correct. Moses did write one of the Psalms. I didn't know that either, I don't think. Right, number six. The longest Psalm is 118. Psalm 118. True or false? Most, all mixture. It's false. It's 119. Sorry, that was mean of me, wasn't it? Which is also the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. True or false? Psalm 19 is also the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. What do we think? Come on, guys. We've got a mixture. True. It has got 176 verses, the longest one. The shortest psalm is 117. Psalm 117. True or false? No one's counting, don't worry. Just go with what you think. It is true. Second part, it's also the shortest chapter in the Bible with only three verses, true or false? It's the shortest chapter in the Bible with only three verses. What do we think? Not sure, most people are going false. You are correct. It is the shortest chapter in the Bible, but it has two verses. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I know. Okay, last one. The Psalms are split into five books, true or false. Psalms are split into five books, true or false. What do we think? Mixture, it's true. Hey, did anyone get all 10 right? Andy, well done. Oh, and okay, then we'll get nine right. Oh, we've got a few nines. Well done. Okay. I did don't keep count, but I knew there would be people that would keep count. Yeah. Okay. Right. It may be news to some of us that there are seven different authors in the Psalms, or that the Psalms are split into five books, generally organized by theme rather than chronology, so not based on when they were written, on theme. And each of these five books, has a different kind of vibe to it, but they all end with a doxology, which is a fancy word for like a big Jesus shout-out, God shout-out, basically, like a God is autumn shout-out. And in our English translation, they all end with praise the Lord. So each of the five books ends with praise the Lord, and several of them then say amen and amen. Okay, so we're going to have a whistle-stop tour through the five books today, okay? And every time I say book number one is finished or book number two is finished, you're all going to shout, praise the Lord, amen and amen. So let's have a practice, okay? Book number one is finished.
Praise the Lord, amen and amen.
Brilliant, okay, that's brilliant. And as I said, it's a whistle-stop tour, and you'll be glad to know we're not going to read all 150 Psalms today. So are you ready to go? Great, Margaret's ready. Okay, what we're going to do as well, just so it's not my voice all the time, is I'm going to have this microphone roaming around, and if you've got the microphone, when a psalm appears on the screen, you can read the psalm, okay? If you don't want to read, just pass it on to someone else, pass it behind you. There's no pressure at all for anyone. I'm going to start it here with Mike, okay? So when the psalm appears, I will tell you, you can read it, okay? But for each of these five books that we've talked about, I've picked a popular song. Oh, kids, if you do get bored of me, there is some colouring at the back. But there's plenty for you to do, so maybe hold off for now. Okay, I've picked a popular song and an object that represents that set, that book. Okay, so could we have our first song, please? Let's see who I can identify this song. Anyone know what it is? Well done. That's it. Well, let's play a little bit longer. There we go. Okay, the song was Stand By Me, and I need someone to come and open our first box. Come on, Rachel, up you come. So this represents our first book of Psalms. What's in there?
A sheep.
Lovely. Right, you can pop the sheep there. Okay, brilliant. So this book is mostly about David. It's about one person trying to follow God through life's ups and downs. It's like a sheep following a shepherd. It's a really personal journey. David expresses his feelings and his struggles to God, but he also chooses to praise him despite everything that he's got going on in his life. And right from the start, it lays out the difference between those who are wise and are following God, like the sheep, and those who are rejecting him and choosing their own bad choices instead. So it's this clear distinction between these two groups of people. So we've got our first psalm. Who's got the microphone? Where did it get to? Brilliant. Naomi, do you want to read this for us?
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Thanks very much. But even at this, feel free to pass the mic on. But even if at this early stage in the book, David speaks about one who is going to come and suffer in order to save people from their wickedness. A perfect king. And of course, we know who he's pointing to. It's Jesus. And he gives details of Jesus's death. This is 1,000 years before it happens, and this is what he says. Who's got it? Joanne, is that you? Go for it. Next one, Toby. Thank you.
My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments amongst themselves and throw dice for my clothing.
Thanks very much. Isn't that incredible? That is written 1,000 years before Jesus' death and gives a really clear picture of Jesus' crucifixion. And so, yeah, David is pointing to a Messiah even at this stage. And he confesses his own mistakes and his relief that he has been forgiven. And there are lots of famous verses in this book about him finding rest, peace, hope, guidance in his relationship with God. And that's where our sheep comes in, with probably the most famous psalm of all. Next one, please.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams.
Thank you. So although there's lots of desperation in this first book, there's also a lot of prayers of praise. And David accompanied a lot of his praise with a harp, which looks like this, if you don't know. Now, I was hopeful that we might have an actual harpist, because we do have a harpist amongst our congregation, but they have sold their harp. So we haven't got a real harp. But we can imagine, can't we, David playing his harp and singing his praise. And he's recognizing that God is worthy of praise, even in the tough times. He often speaks about God's creation and God's power in psalms such as this one. Who's got the mic? Brilliant. Molly.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork.
Brilliant. So we see this personal journey of David and his struggles, his emotions, but still choosing to praise God. So that's why we had the Stand By Me music. He knows that God is with him in his struggles, and he's choosing to praise him anyway. Okay, so there we go. Book one is finished.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Toby, next slide. Thank you. You remembered it anyway. Well done. Okay, this is book two. These are the Help We're in Trouble songs. Okay, so here's our music. Let's see if you can recognize this music. Okay, Jaws music. Okay, because these are the Help We're in Trouble songs. So who's going to come and open our next box? Zebedee, come on up then. Right, we have a shield. Lovely, thanks very much. That can go there. So the vibe of this book is high drama. It's God to the rescue. And the focus shifts from just one person's conversations with God, David, in the first one, to the whole community with lots of different authors writing psalms in this book. It's like an action movie where the hero is surrounded and it looks like it's all going to end in disaster. That's what we have in this book. And there are a lot of verses like this one.
Please, God, rescue me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that kind of vibe in this part of the book. It seems that the writers feel a really long way from God, and it's thought that a lot of these psalms were written during the Babylonian exile. So the temple's been destroyed, the people have all been uprooted and taken to somewhere else to live, and the temple was where God's presence was. So if they were over here, and the temple was over here, and it's been destroyed, they're feeling that disconnect with God's presence. Okay, so that's where this kind of, where are you, God? That's where that's coming from. And David wrote some of these psalms as well, but he was also exiled during his reign. He was taken out of Jerusalem and he was exiled. And so he's talking about that feeling of being cut off from God as well. And so there's a lot of psalms that speak about this personal longing for God's presence, such as this one. Who's got the mic? Where have we got to? Brilliant, Sue. There we go.
As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God.
But even though things feel desperate in this part of the book, it also talks a lot about God being a place of safety. We've got our next psalm.
God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea.
So the key message that we can take from book two is that when the world feels shaky, God is our fortress and our protector, hence our shield. He is with us, whatever we face. So, book two is finished.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Great. Right, book three. Okay, this is the Why God songs. Okay, so let's have our music. Thank you. Some of the kids might recognize this one. It's from a film.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you?
It's from Shrek.
It goes like this.
Well, it's not from Shrek, it's in Shrek. We'll get to the chorus.
The baffled king composing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So it's called Hallelujah, and it does appear in Shrek. And the song talks about a broken hallelujah, and that's a good summary of this book. It's full of a lot of sadness. So let's have our someone else to open the next box. Who wants to come? Come on up, Daniel. Are you coming? No? Oh, okay. No, someone hasn't done one yet. Come on, Margaret. Brilliant. What have we got, Margaret? Yeah, we've got a box of tissues. Okay, you can go and have a sit down. Thank you. Okay, we've got a box of tissues because this book is pretty tough and pretty sad. It's full of laments, which Dave talked about a couple of weeks ago. Songs that ask, why are things so hard, God? And where are you, God? Let's all take a big breath in and do a big sigh. That is the feel of this book, okay? Now, most of these songs weren't written by David, but by a man named Asaph and his family. And they lived through some really hard times when it felt like the bad guys were winning, the kingdom was falling, and God was silent. And so this book is a heavy, honest conversation with God. It contains some of the saddest verses in the whole Bible when the writers struggled to see where God was in their situation. We've got our next psalm. Have we got the mic somewhere? Where's that? Brilliant, Tracy.
I cry out to God. Yes, I shout, oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help.
So pretty tough, some pretty tough verses in this book. But although there are lots like that, there's also a bit of a history lesson in this book where it looks back at where God has been faithful in the past, bringing them out of Egypt, taking them through the Red Sea, feeding them in the desert. And so this is done, that's in there to remind themselves that God is faithful. I may not see or feel or sense him now, but I can look back at history and I can see where he has been faithful. And so that brings them to a place of hope and reassurance. And so you get things like this one. I think we've got next one.
But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works.
So this book shows us it's okay to be sad or angry with God. He's big enough to handle our questions, our doubts. And it gives us the words to use maybe when life is hard and it doesn't make sense and maybe we haven't got the words to express it. But it doesn't leave us in that place of desperation, because even in that place, there is hope. And that gives us our next one. He's got the mic. Brilliant. Thanks, JC.
My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He's mine forever.
So even in this place of desperation, there's this hope that I know that God is with me and that he's going to, you know, give me strength in my situation. So it's a raw book, this one, but there is that hope. So book three is finished. Great. Okay. Book four are the God is the Boss songs. Okay. So could we have our next piece of music? Let's see if you can get this. Lovely. So that's Here Comes the Sun. And so the vibe of this book is that hope returns. Okay, so we've been down in the dip of desperation and now we're on the up again. Hope has returned. Okay, so who's going to come and open our next box? Anybody? Oh, Christy, come on up. Lisa, you can do the last one. What's in here? What have we got? We've got a crown. Okay, good. Thanks very much. So this vibe of this book is that hope returns. It reminds us that even when kings fail and things go wrong, God is still the king of the whole world. And it starts with the prayer of Moses, the one psalm that we know is written by Moses. And he said this. Is the mic somewhere? Who's got it? Oh, great. Thanks, Richard.
Lord, through our generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God.
Great, thank you. So these verses tell us, don't worry, God's got this. He's been in charge since the beginning of time, and he will be in charge forever. And this book is filled with hope. There are lots of pictures about how God will rescue the people. He'll save them. He'll protect them. Describing him as a compassionate father, a protective mother bird, a king robed in majesty and armed with strength. And it's also packed with praise for all that God has done and the wonder of his creation with psalms such as this one. Who's got the mic? Lovely. Thanks, Agnes.
Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness.
Thank you. I think there might be another one straight away as well. Is there, Toby? Yeah, next one. Go ahead, don't mind. Thank you.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy.
So the end of this section, this book, just really ramps up the praise, setting the scene for book five. But first, book four is finished.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Very good. So here we are, book five, and these are the party songs. Okay, so let's have our music, please. What's the song? Walking on Sunshine. Right, Lucy, come on up and open our last box. We got some party blowers. I was hoping for some of the ones that, like, you know, when you blow it and they, like, uncurl. But in our house, they always go soggy and disintegrate, so we don't have any of those left. So here we are. We made it. This is the grand finale. And book five is the longest and the loudest and most joyful part of the whole Psalm songbook. If the Psalms are a movie, this is the part where the heroes win, the music swells, and everyone starts dancing in the streets. It's all about coming home. It's about God's people being rescued from far away and being brought back together to say a massive thank you. It's like the biggest and best family reunion ever. And it starts right at the beginning of this book in Psalm 107, verse 1, with praise. So we've got a psalm, I think. Who's got the mic? Brilliant. Thanks, Jane.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever.
So that's the start of this section, and it ends with praise right at the end in Psalm 150. We've got another one straight away. Who's going to do this one? Oh, thanks, everybody.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequalled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp.
Oh, there's another bit. Sorry, keep going. You got the longest one.
Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the crash of cymbals. Praise him with the loud clanging of cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord.
Brilliant. So we start this book with praise. We end this book with praise. And pretty much everything in the middle is just praise too. And the Psalms at the beginning, as we talked about, started with a single person, David, giving out his praise to God. And it ends in 150 with the whole of creation praising God. So we've moved from one person, we've gone down in this dip of sadness and difficulty, and we've come up to the whole of creation praising God. It's really quite amazing when you journey through it. There we are. What a journey. The whole book is finished. Amen and amen. So there is our whistle stop tour through the Psalms. But why are we looking at Psalms this summer, and what can we learn from them? Well, I think the Psalms help us to do two things. Firstly, the Psalms are like a mirror. They reflect how we feel inside. They reflect how we express our emotions that we might be experiencing, whether that's happiness, sadness, frustration, shame, joy, anger, despair, wonder, loneliness, thankfulness. It's all in there. It's all in the Psalms. They show us that it's okay to express these feelings to God and that he meets us where we're at. So the Psalms are like a mirror. But they're also like a diamond. When you hold a diamond up to the light, it reflects the different colours through its different sides. And the Psalms reveal to us different parts of God's character, showing us what he is like. He's a shepherd, a rock, a fortress, creator, a righteous judge, a protective parent, a loving and compassionate father, a holy, awe-inspiring king, and a gracious saviour. And so the Psalms connect how we're feeling and the situations we're going through with God's character, one who is faithful and worthy of our praise no matter what. And so as we journey through these songs together, our hope and prayer is that we all find a deeper connection to a God who loves us, who revealed himself to us through the person of Jesus, and is always with us through his Holy Spirit. So I'd really encourage you to read the Psalms as we go through this journey this summer. If you start today and read one a day, then you'll have read them all by the end of September. You could do it as a family. We've been doing it with Zebedee at bedtime. We're only up to 26 so far, but we're really enjoying it. We're enjoying reading them together, and it gives us so much to pray about. There's so much that comes out of it that we can pray about our own situations, about people that we love and their situations, or just choosing to praise God because he's worthy of our praise. So I just encourage you to have a go at reading through them this summer, and we pray that, God will reveal himself to us as we journey this summer. Thank you.